Please turn with me to Lord's Day 38. Lord's Day 38, we are going through each of the commandments one by one, and we will be focusing on the fourth commandment, which is found on page 42 of your book, your booklets. Question answer 103. What does God require in the fourth commandment? In the first place, God wills that the ministry of the gospel and schools be maintained, that I, especially on the day of rest, diligently attend church to learn the word of God, to use the holy sacraments, to call publicly upon the Lord. In the second place, that all the days of my life I rest from my evil works, work in me by this Holy Spirit, and thus begin in this life the everlasting Sabbath. Saints of God, the term Lord's Day only occurs once in the New Testament. And yet, every week we call it the Lord's Day. That reference is in Revelation 1:10. And the Apostle John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, when he saw the Lord on the Lord's Day, he described it in these terms. Because if you go back to the Old Testament, there is also a phrase, very important, that's called the Day of the Lord. That always refers to the final judgment. But that phrase has a grammatical order, so that you know when it talks about the Day of the Lord, that's what it's referring to. And yet John, knowing this, does not use that grammatical order. He doesn't say the day of the Lord. He says the Lord's Day. Now, going back into even historic context, the Romans would designate a day for Augustus, the Augustus Day. Usually it's when you pay your rent or your taxes, right? But John, knowing where he stood, knowing what revelation he was receiving, he was celebrating the Lord's Day, that is, the risen Christ who has ascended, who has conquered over our sin, who has triumphed over our enemies, who has conquered all things. And if even Ephesians says he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness who fills all in all. Christ reigns victoriously. And that is only because he resurrected from the dead. If Christ has not been resurrected, there is no celebration to be made. There is no triumph to celebrate in. That's why we call this the Lord's Day. That's why the New Testament people, authors and apostles, designated not the Saturday, but Sunday, the seventh day. Because there's a new creation, there's a new order that has taken place. That's why we call it the Lord's Day. This is a momentous victory that we all share. There's no denying that there's something new about this day of rest. But, however, that does not mean that the Sabbath that was instituted in the Old Testament is done away with altogether. The Catechism recognizes that. Reformed people have always recognized that the Sabbath is rooted and patterned in creation itself. On the seventh day, God rested, not because he was tired one day, but because he gloried in the works of his creation. He enjoyed the works that he had done with his hands. Now, during the time of Moses, the Sabbath became a sign of the covenant, and it became connected with liberation, ceremonies, and feasts. The purpose of the Sabbath was to remind Israel that God alone was their deliverer, their provider, and their joy. By the time Jesus walks the earth, the purpose of the Sabbath was robbed by the Pharisees, who were obsessed with creating these extra laws. The Sabbath then became not a ceremony, not a feast day. It became a burden. It was focused more on obedience than on God's redeeming grace, on self-righteousness rather than showing mercy towards others. And with these extra laws that the Pharisees created for themselves and binded the consciences of the people around them, they sucked the life out of the Sabbath and turned it into dead religion. Christ called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. Oh, they look pretty on the outside spiritually. They look good, shiny, but there's rotting bones inside. Jesus exposed their hypocritical laws, pushed back by healing on the Sabbath, by doing acts of mercy on the Sabbath. He allowed the disciples to eat grain out of mercy because they were hungry. And Christ said Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It was made for commemorating God's deliverance. It was made for worship. It was made for rest. The Lord's Day is never meant to be made a burden. It's about our freedom in Christ. As Christ redeems us as his people, we are the beginning of that new creation. We make this day celebrating our deliverance from our sin and from death. We make this day about breaking the pattern of our work week. The Sabbath, or the Lord's Day, should never be seen as a lazy day or as a catch-up day. It's a day of rest, but it's a day of rest for your body and your soul. Your whole person. It is a day to rest in what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. When it comes to discerning how you should fill your Lord's Day, focus on what you get to do, not on what you are not able to do. You get to worship the King of Kings. You get to gather with the body of Christ to taste and see that the Lord is good. The Catechism says we diligently attend church to receive the means of grace, to commune with the God who has redeemed us, who loves us. You get to make it a point to allow God to be God. Now, is that true out of all days, 6 days? Absolutely. But this is an opportunity that the Lord has ordered and designated for his people to say, stop, rest. Let me acknowledge me that I am your God and you are my people. That's what the Lord's Day is to be about. It's not a lazy day. It's not a catch-up day. You don't have to catch up on your chores or fill it with busyness. The Lord, in his wisdom, knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. He knows we need to slow down. Be reminded of what Christ has done and still is doing in you through the Spirit. The Catechism focuses more on the spiritual rest. It's purposefully not specific in making a detailed outline on do's and don'ts. The Sabbath is never meant to be a burden on you or to others, which is to say every family should discern for themselves how they should fill their Lord's Day. We don't need to express a complete uniformity in how we specifically observe the Lord's Day. There is some room for freedom. Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath, and his people will delight in it as they delight in him. This day is a small taste of our eternal rest. Worshiping God, exalting Christ, surrounded by his redeemed people and creation, all because of the gospel. Grace that has brought you this far and grace that will bring you home. This is the rest our hearts desire. Amen.